hearing aid.
Insurgent Radio Network calling, Insurgent Radio Network calling, Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger in the bunker. It's still the 1st of June 2009, Moonsday, and we're back with you. Since I screwed up that first show pretty bad, I figure I owe you another one. So we're going to bring you Ghost Wolf Radio Man, and one of his shows here, and it's never been played before, so I'm sorry, we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Our telephone number for our rant line is 574-267-5036. So, like I said, we tried to run you an 8-bit show with stereo, and that was a utter failure, so I don't know whether you got any good out of that show or not, but anyhow, I worked pretty hard putting it together. It sort of upset me as much as it probably did you. So here comes Ghost Wolf with another great show.
You are listening to an advocate of the Ghost Wolf International Brotherhood. This is Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio is a byproduct of the Insurgency Radio Network, all made possible by a great racial patriot, an ever-evolving racial patriot, Tom Metzger, who can be reached at tm_metzger@yahoo.com. You can write him at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Send the guy some money, buy some things, borrow some DVDs. You can call the Area and Update line at 574-267-5036. This is Ghost Wolf Radio, and I hope that I reach just a handful. How about a squad size element? That's 11 guys. You have your squad leader, and then you have two fire teams made up of 5 men each. And each fire team is led by a fire team leader. Y'all don't have to know each other. You don't have to communicate with each other, write each other, email each other. You're silent. You're not saying nothing about race. You're not on anyone's list. There's nothing distinctive about you as far as tattoos. If you're sleeved out with tattoos, and you would definitely want to wear long sleeve shirts on an op that's far from where you work and where you live. At the same time, dressing in nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing. This has never been tried before. We are impenetrable. Or is that called impenetrable? We can't be spied upon. We are not leaving any electronic trails or written paperwork or paper trails. They can't follow us. They don't know who we are. As much as I like Leonidas and his 300 Spartans that stood in the pass of Thermopylae, there's one aspect about the Persian army I thought was kind of cool, and that was the immortals. The immortals were always masked. Their identity was always hidden. Adding to the mystique that when one died in battle, there was always somebody that took its place. I like to think that the Ghost Wolf International Brotherhood is something like the immortals which were an elite group in the Persian army led by Darius against Leonidas and his 300 Spartans and a few other Greeks that were there at the pass. What an interesting analogy, because that's exactly what we're like now. All of our white nations are inhabited by black, brown, and yellow, by the millions. We're becoming blacker and browner. When you think of Salt Lake City, first thing that comes to your mind, you think of Mormons. Thanks a lot, Mormon Church, for bringing Pacific Islanders into Salt Lake City who are now gangbangers. Thanks a lot, Mormons. But Salt Lake City's loaded down with mud. It's got gangs, got massive drug problem. It's a major hub for Mexican cartels to bring their drugs. And then from there they filter out through the western part of the United States. Denver. Denver's got a lot of muds. Des Moines, Iowa, that's no longer an all-white town. It's got some muds. It's got some Hindus. It's got some black. Hispanic are there now. So if you choose to sit on your ass, don't you dare talk shit that we ain't doing nothing. Listen, each person, including myself, who looks in the mirror, it is incumbent upon us. One man can make a difference. Just got to plan it right. I'm going to read an article here from Colin Jordan, maybe it's pronounced Colin. Colin Jordan wrote a book called The Uprising. He is a British racial patriot. I believe he's still alive. I like to think of him as the British Dr. William Pierce. You know, smart guy. And you'll be able to tell by his writing style. I'm going to have to read this slow because it's kind of triple my words. We live in the twilight days of a doomed age. Enveloping us is a sick society condemned to death in the cosmic cycle of transformation by its inherent inability to overcome its strains and stresses. An old order new exhibiting a myriad manifestations, should be a myriad of manifestations, of its advancing disintegration. Yet its final demise may be long delayed, and meanwhile its committed adherents tighten their hold on power, exercised through the veiled force of censorship and indoctrination, the denial of facilities to opponents, and an increasing resort to coercion and suppression. These conditions specify a life and death struggle for those dedicated to the survival and advancement of higher man through a new order or Ariandom, meaning Aryan society. In such a struggle, the prerequisite for effective action is a searching appraisal of ways and means. All practices and procedures must be subjected to an analysis of cost-effectiveness and retained or rejected accordingly. Against the backcloth, this article is concerned to show that the day of the political party is over. Its appeal to the masses, with leaflets at large, its marches round and round the houses, and all the rest of its routine designed to woo and win the majority of vote of the population at an election, is hopelessly unproductive. The political party, whatever its content, even where nominally anti-democratic, is the organizational product of the mass society called democracy, meaning a society that purports to respond to and provide for the common man. It was preceded by the overt and avowed rule of minorities, and democracy, not meaning racial minorities, but possibly economic elite minorities, I think he means, about rule of minorities, and democracy is no less subject to minorities than any other experienced or conjectured society. Its only distinction is this respect being that of the modus operandi of its minorities. It is except when mortally menaced and thus brought to a departure from normal form, mainly manipulative and masked, as opposed to being mainly and blatantly coercive. This dominance of minorities is to be expected as a fact of life. The rule of the public, well, maybe the minority is racial. I wish you would have specified here. The rule of the public, apart from minute units of administration, has never existed, and never can and never will exist. Civilization, its management, and its finer fruits have always come not from the common man, but from the uncommon man. To say so in no way detracts from the argument for the just apportionment of its material benefits to the former. However, lowly inability and effort and consequent due. By the term the masses, as here used, is meant not a material but a mental class, regardless of momentary means, made up of the entirety of sheepish citizenry in its conformity to the status quo ordained and blessed by the media of democracy. Well, obviously this man is highly intellectual, and from what I can gather from this article so far, I totally concur with. But the point I like was that its management and its finer fruits have always come not from the common, but from the uncommon. That's a civilization that's moving upwards, that allows the studs, the mental giants of the civilization to be able to create something great. Great men don't come from democracies. I mean, yeah, you got your great thinkers that came out of, you know, the public school system and this and that, but how many more would we have if we didn't have this mental slave system called democracy, backed up by organized Semitic religion? Okay, next part is democracy's control box. The political party came into use in the early days of the development of the mass society, consequent on the increase in communication among the people at large, and the increase in the uniformity of their lives, both resulting from the Industrial Revolution, and this long before the advent of the most, either this is most modern or most modem. The word is M-O-D-E-M. This guy's vocabulary is a lot more advanced than mine, so I don't know if it could be modern as a misprint or modem. But I'll read it as it says. And this long before the event of the most modem and most powerful means of molding the minds of the masses. I think he meant modern. And that is television. With television today, the ruling minorities of democracy have an instrument of mind control in the center of virtually every home in the land, ensuring that millions upon millions of beguiled boobs of the cap rod ray tube, the word is C-A-T-H-O-D-E. Is that caprod? Caprode? Cathrode? I don't know. Cathrode ray to think the democratic way and thus come to vote for the democratic options. The total consent of the television box today decides the total result of the ballot box tomorrow. The party game is thus firmly under the power of the enemy of national and racial resurgence, and indulgent in it by those excluded from television. Along with the rest of the mass media, along with the rest of the mass media. It is a waste of time. Even Hitler, who came to power just before its opponents gained this weapon, could not today succeed against and without the magic box. Short of acquiring it for ourselves or destroying it for the others, there's only one way. Its all-pervasive, hypnotic, malignant influence can be overcome, and that is through a thorough breakdown in society, sufficiently painful to prod the people out of their coma of enslavement. This is right on. That's exactly... I don't know nothing about this guy. I mean, I read The Uprising. I don't remember reading anything like this in that book. The Uprising is kind of like a British Turner Diaries. And they took out a bunch of people, Jew lawyers and Jew politicians, and sellout whites who were in the, or sellout white girls who were in the pornography thing. Here's an underground group. You know, you ghost wolves can start that underground group by just acting on your own. All you gotta do is sow the seeds of chaos and disorder. Remember, disruptive power? That's the power you have. Act on it. But this guy, I couldn't have said it better myself, you know. And there's a through and thorough breakdown in society sufficiently painful to prod the people out of their coma of enslavement. That's right, something that shuts off the television and shuts off the electricity. Okay? Either gonna fall by the wayside white man or you're gonna fight to survive. Alright, reading on, it says, created for and concerned with the masses, the nationalists of the National Socialist Party inevitably becomes crippled and corrupted by the exactions of the involvement. Exactions, I never heard that word. E-X-A-C-T-I-O-N-S. Exactions. In the delusive pursuit of numbers as the measure of strength, it commits two errors of cardinal severity which guarantee weakness. Firstly, in its desire to attract the common man in quantity, it has to set its requirements of membership at a sufficiently low level so as to offer him the gratification of identification with a supposedly lofty cause on the basis of little, if anything, more than some paltry payment. That's right. I mean, democracy caters to the low man. It caters to mediocrity and below. I mean, it's not something that's going to carry man onward and upward. You know, like Brooks Adams' magisterial book in the late 1800s. I believe he wrote 1898 or 96, you know, The Law of Civilization and Decay. You know, when society is led by economic man, civilizations collapse, fall, and decay. When it's led by spiritual man, I'm not talking about Christian, I'm talking about men who live for something greater and higher than themselves. When society is led by spiritual man, civilizations excel to the stars. So, democracy caters and multiplies the low man. Okay, having brought him into the fold instead of just taking the collecting box to him on the outside, and with his contribution clearly proving insufficient to enable desirable progress, there follows a constant striving to try and coax him into doing more, which is the folly of trying to make a political activist out of a being whose nature prohibits it. Thus, the role of the political party runs counter to that iron law of humanity, which decrees that political activists are and always will be a tiny minority, most productive on their own, and that the rest of mankind is and always will be of the nature of the political bystanders. You know, it's a waste. This just solidifies the fact that it's a waste of time for us to go out there and try to recruit and try to win the masses. They're just, I mean, the reason why they are the masses, the reason why you, white man, are on the radio club is because you're not a sheep. You're not one of the masses. There's something in your upbringing, maybe it's biology, who knows what it is. There's something in you that always maybe wasn't right. Maybe you grew up in the lap of luxury. Maybe you grew up in the upper middle class. Maybe you grew up poor. But you knew there was just something not right about this world system. It just didn't sit right with you. Maybe you didn't find happiness in it. I don't know. With me, I think it was just failure after failure in contemporary modern American life, you know. I was a motivated, fired-up Christian in a non-denominational church. Well, thank whatever anthropomorphic deity out there that I failed at that. Because if I didn't, I would still be enslaved to that mental slavery. So, very interesting. You want to go out there and you want to preach, you are preaching to political bystanders. They are geared to be bystanders. Don't even try to win them over. All you got to do is sow the seeds of chaos, disorder, and destruction of this current system, and then we're going to have to battle it out to get in charge. And once there's chaos, then we start rallying people around. Then we start becoming the guiding lights. Before that happens, though, they're going to have us be the scapegoat for everything wrong in the world. White racism, nationalism, xenophobia. They'll be throwing these words around like a goddamn baseball game. In consequence, while necessarily starting out as a nucleus of political activists, the party soon ends up dissipating the capacity of its activities because of their attachment to the others. Because of this attachment, an endless effort ensues to try and keep the recruited man of the masses content with their membership. Activities to this precise end have to be arranged all over the country, costly in time and money, including all the traveling back and forth by all concerned, primarily to the benefit of the petrol companies and the coach companies and the British Railways, and in our case, and TWA and United and Air Force One or whatever. Beyond this, to a considerable extent, the party tends to degenerate into as much a party of fun and games as anything else, greatly occupied with the posturing and pretending, the babbling and boozing of the bulk of its members. Come on, who on Capitol Hill, or you British guy, or who in the House of Commons and the House of Lords is really worthy of looking up to? I don't know of any politicians in England. Was that guy Jack Brown or whatever his name is, Gordon Brown? He looks like a Jew to me. I'm sorry, he just looks Jewish to me. I'm kind of suspect with the last name of Brown anyways, but I wasn't happy with Blair either. And in the 1980s, I thought Margaret Thatcher was, you know, she was awesome because Reagan was in power at the same time and I was a staunch Reaganite. Incidentally, I was reading something today in that book, The Terrorist, and I'm kind of wondering if the British fought the Argentines and the Falklands. There was a lot of anti-Semitism in Argentina in the late 70s, early 80s. There's a Jewish community in Buenos Aires, Argentina, which is a big city in Argentina, which has a considerable Jewish population, and they are not liked at all. I'm wondering if anti-Semitism, which was on the rise in Argentina in the late 70s, early 80s, because the British invaded the Falklands, or fought in the Falklands during that, was it 82? I'm wondering. I'm always wondering. Alright, pitfalls of the party game. Like I was saying, I can't think of any one white politician who I have even a little bit of respect for on Capitol Hill. Not one. Trent Lott, I'd like to catch this guy in a fucking dark alley somewhere. For him to say what he said at Strom Thurmond's birthday, you know, he said before 1965, America was a much better place, which was absolutely true. Then he backpedaled, got on BET, Black Entertainment Television, and was kissing ass with some black hoes. Well, I didn't really mean that, and I'm not a racist. Fuck you. Trent Lott. Fucking right-wingers, we need to off you any way possible, by any means necessary. All right, pitfalls of the party game. The second great error of the party is to set its bounds of belief so wide in pursuit of numbers that it achieves thereby not a greater strength, but a lesser one through the disunity this spells. Turning the page. The amalgamation of numbers without a fusion of minds is but a congregation of bodies doomed to discord and disruption, because it is only the semblance and not the substance of unity which always depends on a clear predominance of common belief. With its arms thrown open too widely in welcome, the party, in the width of its policy, takes in differences too large to digest. This shit is right on, man. He is fucking preaching here. Along with the positive protagonist of ideological disagreement, it attracts a swamping influx of little people, little in their limitations of their mind, vision, and spirit, saturated with all the superficial perception and shallow sentiments of democracy. People who fancy a spare time hobby of rebellious radicalism, albeit shackled with the mental fetters of democracy's notions of respectability and moderation, and thus incapable of dangling more than a couple of toes in the cauldron of revolutionary thought and action. With the fatal combination of low requirements of membership and wide bounds of policy, the political party cannot do other than present a feeble spectacle of the tail wagging the dog. This stuff is hard to read. This is printed or copied on a Xerox machine or whatever, so it's a lot of typos in this. So try to hang in there with me. You know, it's just very hard reading here. I have to hold a magnifying glass up to this because it's, you know, to see what it actually says. A lot of typos. Hey, but you know, it's a shoestring budget, so. Okay, tail wagging a dog. Any complete computation of the cost effectiveness of this party game, namely what it actually gained from all the relatively inactive but disproportionately vociferous recruits in this forlorn hunt for mass membership, in return for all the constant effort to contain them, condemns the practice completely. Cancels out itself, I guess. It is said that every little bit helps. So it does. Providing, and only providing, it does not cost as much or more to obtain than it's worth. And providing, it is recognized that little bits will never bring victory in a mighty struggle, even when much multiplied. Otherwise, we commit the folly of subscribing to the egalitarian vanity that little is lovely. And to do so is to create a slough of frustration wherein the active few are nullified and discouraged by having to carry on their back the burden of the relatively inactive many all around them. The issue here is, you know what, that can apply to white membership groups. Really. The issue here, the Ghost Wolf and Resist.com, that weeds out those that just want to play games and get their ears tickled. Because you can go to a white racist membership group, you can get along just fine, and people think you're a great guy, and you won't, and you're not doing shit. You know? Okay. At the National Alliance, Chicago Proto Unit, I joined on right after the murder of Eric Hansen. Lindenhurst, Illinois Police Department shot up Eric Hansen. First they were harassing him because he was a white racist. And I don't want to go into details about what happened with that, but this guy was distributing, no kidding, and spending a great percentage of his personal, you know, paycheck on literature. He would distribute anywhere from 600 to 1,000 pieces of literature every week. Every week. And when he was leading the program unit, this is before I came on board, he was doing 80% of the work. And people just came into meetings, drank their beer, and maybe clapped at the end of an American Dissident Voices cassette program from William Pearson. We would fellowship after that, and then we would go about our ways, not changing nothing around the society around us. That's what's wrong with organizations. It's the fat and the lazy can feed off of the work of a few hardcore people. Whereas the Ghost Wolf, you ain't got no one else to rely on. You have to rely on yourself. And since I don't really see too much going on out there, maybe this is something that maybe won't take off for another 20, 30 years. Or maybe it'll never take off. And if it doesn't take off, we are all to blame. I'm not real quick to say I'm part of the blame for that because I don't want to go into details, but I've earned my stripes. I've earned the right to talk this shit. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But if we go by the wayside without any type of real resistance, it's everyone out there who's listening to this program, who's white, and believes in survival of the white race, it's all your fault. It's not George Bush's fault. It's not the Jews' fault. It's not the rich white elite's fault. It's not the nigger's fault. It's your fault. Because you didn't act. Okay. Getting on the back relatively few. All right, the issue here is not for one moment that the little bits help from the public at large. I wish they put some fucking commas in this. The issue here is not for one minute that the little bits help from the public at large. There should be a comma there. Should be scorned or discarded. I don't like the punctuation in this. Any commas to help me out with this. But that they can and should be gathered on the outside of the political activist, segregated as a task force, and do not need to be or should not therefore be sought through common membership of one and the same organization as happens with the political party. I shouldn't even read that last paragraph. I should have just went on to ballot box futility, which is the next section. The very reason of a political party is to appeal sufficiently to the masses so as to obtain sufficient votes in elections as to obtain state power and thus form a government of the country. Nationalist parties have been operating for decades to this end and yet have failed to obtain or even come near to obtain a single seat in parliament, meaning hundreds of seats. I guess they're talking about the white nationalist parties in Britain really haven't gotten any political power. I guess the British National Party is kind of flirting with Jews because they got a common enemy, the Muslims. Bad times ahead, man. Nationalist parties have been operating for decades at this end and yet have failed to obtain or even come near obtaining a single seat in Parliament, meaning hundreds of seats. While during those decades, the plight of our race and nation has worsened and worsened, such parties have come no nearer success. You know what? I talked to lieutenant commander of the National Socialist Movement in the United States. Talked to the lieutenant commander of the Wisconsin chapter. Had a nice little discussion with him, and he really thinks that they can win small political parties. It is a waste of time. You're trying to, you're waiting for the next election. Art Jones, the Fuhrer of Chicago, is waiting for the next election. And meanwhile, before that next election comes, the white population go down by a certain percentage, and the black and brown and yellow will go up. You guys that are partaking in that, I'm really trying not to throw you under the bus. I really am. And I've talked to you, Lieutenant Commander of the Wisconsin chapter of NSM. I don't want to say your name. You're a smart guy. So you following that end, that pursuit of trying to win a political office, I know you're not stupid. Now what else could it be? Could it be you're afraid of real revolutionary action? I'm not trying to make enemies here, but the time is short and we need to have a sense of urgency. This is bullshit. Alright, carrying on. So some seek to account for this obvious failure to become sufficiently known and acceptable to the masses as a failure to trim policy sufficiently for this political market, including the failure to avoid the stigma of Nazi and extremists. The remedy is to convert themselves that much more to the masses instead of seeking to convert the masses to them, thus seeking to compete with the established parties on their own ground by coming closer to them, while still lacking all the advantages of infrastructure which those orthodox parties possess. David Duke, do you really think you're going to get something accomplished in this country by trying to be palatable to white people who aren't on the racial game? It's a waste of time. You guys are wasting all our resources. And we've already said on the flip side of this tape that we are a broke-ass fucking racial ideological movement. You guys want to waste money on all this bullshit. $135 to go hear David Irving talk about fucking Hitler. You could have spent that money to resist.com. Believe me, Tom could have upgraded more of his equipment, put more propaganda out there in a revolutionary tone. I'm trying real hard not to be insulting you guys. I'm trying to, you know, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I'm fucking becoming milquetoast by doing that. You don't need to start throwing everyone under the bus again who's not taking part in real revolutionary activity. Okay. Such people priding themselves on their astuteness penetrate the absurdity of abandoning the capacity to reform in pursuit of the opportunity to reform. In deep privacy and with crafty wink, some will confide that their contortions are only window dressing and that when in power they will show their true colors. Their true colors, apparent enough already, amount to constitutional weakness. Such are the workings of such frailty that giving way to it now, come the payoff, they would never have the strength to transcend it. The smears they fear and vainly attempt to distance themselves from are but the concomitant of all adequate proposals for natural and racial resurgence, avoidable only by a shameful procedure of self-sterilization. Others of sterner stuff concede that the electoral process is out of reach, but argue that electioneering is nonetheless justified for the sake of resulting publicity and recruitment. That sounds like Art Jones to me. However, to prove their point, they need to show and fail to show that the gain in whatever quantity and quality of support resulting from such electioneering at least equals, if not succeeds, the gain to be achieved through an equal expenditure of time and money in other ways. One thing such electioneering certainly does not achieve is that manifestation which more than that of intellect and ideals move the masses, the manifestation of strength, for it almost always results in a miserable manifestation of weakness. Our misrulers, securing their mastery of the media and thereby the minds of the electorate, are comparatively content if they cannot dispel or deter all resistance to let democracy's dissidents expend themselves in the attrition of the party game they have devised and dominated. Man, that is right on. Why the... I mean... You know, Metzger ran for political office and he won. And he was barred from taking his seat. He's told that story many times. I wonder how many of you out there in the white separatist movement even know about that. I'm not talking about the radio club right now. To play these fucking games. Nothing but games. Alright. Continuing on here. Says they are confident that if by some fluke these nonconformists did happen to become a real threat, they would increase the array of existing impediments to the extent of a ban in all but name. Democracy's deceit is all the time to proclaim to its spellbound public the prevalence of freedom while preventing its exercise by a combination of contrivances. This is conspiracy of suppression. The current revision of the Public Order Act is intended to turn the screw that much tighter on any nationalist or national socialist party as almost to paralyze it. Even if a veritable miracle happened and such a party did gain a majority of votes, can you believe that democracy's masters, faced with elimination, would accept the verdict of the ballot box and meekly hand over control? I've said that before. I said, you know, even don't let us play these games with having white nationalist groups and meet here and meet there and pass out flyers and have a website to offer the illusion that political dissent could be expressed. I remember when the Phineas priesthood was taken down in the early 90s. They were a white separatist terrorist group in the northwestern part of the United States. They were robbing banks in the Seattle, Tacoma area. You know, I mean, they were fucking some shit up. They were setting off bombs at banks, all kinds of stuff. And I don't remember how they got taken down. I think they contacted some guy in the media and let the media come out and meet them at a disclosed location. And the FBI found this guy in the media and he said he was able to contact them. And I guess the media, I guess, pretended that he wanted to do a story about them again or something like that. I don't remember. I hope to see it again on documentary TV. But at the end of the show, there is FBI talking head. Well, you know what? We have freedom of speech in this country. If they have a problem with the country, if they have some views, they can express them. What bullshit. They create the illusion that we can express our views, but we don't have the right to be heard. And if we were any kind of real political threat to any one of the parties, believe me, they would do all kinds of shit to get rid of us. I mean, look at Matt Hale. He wasn't even a threat to the political parties. And they railroaded him. You know? I hope you see that. All right. A naked struggle would ensue. Yes, it would. It is thus not some option for us, but an intimate necessity in any eventuality. Wait. Let me read that again. It is thus not... This is a very small writing guide and a lot of typos. It is thus not some... It is not some option for us, but an... What's this word? U-N-T-I-M-A-T-E. Intimate? Untimate? That, there's no such fucking word, man. Come on, guys. Proofread this fucking shit. But an blank necessity in any eventuality. Whatever. Editor's note. When David Duke ran for governor of Louisiana against Governor Edwin Edwards, and I remember I was stationed on the Port Polk, Louisiana when this was going on. I was in Lake Charles, Louisiana one weekend, and he was in a fucking back of a limousine with the rag top down and stuff and waving to the crowd and stuff. And I didn't know much about him. I knew he was a Ku Klux Klan guy, so I kind of liked him secretly. Remember, I had racial views back then, but I thought that they were evil, so I suppressed them. Okay, when David Duke ran for governor of Louisiana against Edwin Edwards, President Bill Clinton warned the citizens of Louisiana to vote for the crook. I remember that. And that he would pull all federal tax support for the state of Louisiana if the people elected Duke. So Mr. Jordan has a valid point with how fair democracy's leaders really are. Meaning Colin Jordan, the English activist. However, it could also be noted that Duke did hold public office as a state official in the office of state legislator for Louisiana before his run for governor. Well, that's not, I mean, he could do a lot more as governor, so that's when the system stepped in. I'm sure Duke didn't change anything as the state legislator. Another example could be given the United States demanding that Palestine hold democratic elections. And when Palestine held a vote, Hamas won the election. The United States then refused to work with Hamas and rejected recognizing them as the official ruling party for Palestine, even withholding funding. Imagine that. Interesting. Interesting. Well, the gig is up. You guys know that, right? You guys know better than to try to play the party game in America. You guys don't want them to do, want nothing to do with that, right? Here it is, 1 o'clock in the morning. Fucking insomnia, kicking my ass. I should call Metzger right now. Anyways, wake him up. Have him appear on my show. You know what? If I gotta beat a dead horse so I'm blue in the face, I guess I'm gonna have to do that. What Colin Jordan wrote about with the political parties in England applies to the political parties in the United States. You've heard Metzger's own experience about, you know, winning the congressional seat for, I guess, was the largest Democratic district in the country. And he was barred from taking his seat by, what the hell's her name, Nancy Pelosi. The gig is up. I've given you, just on the number of shows that I've done, I've given you, I don't know, a few handfuls of examples of how the system is turned against us. And reading those intellectual words by Mr. Jordan and seeing it reflected in our own political structure here in the United States, I hope you're coming to the conclusion that you cannot play by the rules anymore. The rules are set up in a way to keep you paralyzed. The rules are set up in a way to keep you confined in some parameters, whereas the people who run the system don't abide by the same rules. Laws and rules are meant to keep you in check. And when you turn on your nightly programming on TV, on television, you see this almost worshipfulness of the law. All these lawyer shows, the law, the judges are noble, the lawyers are noble, the prosecutor's noble, the defense attorney's noble. It's all a show, and we are inculcated with this all the time. It'd be better for us not to even watch TV. And I told you a couple shows ago, I talked with an old acquaintance of mine from the National Alliance on the phone the other day. And he watches absolutely no TV. I said, well, you know, I mean, they got some good stuff on the Discovery Channel, you know, stuff like that. I said, yeah, but even that's got some bullshit in it. I just don't want to deal with it. Guy watches absolutely no TV. You know, he watches the weather at night, so he knows what the what to wear to work the next morning. I understand that. That's why the last movie I went to see at the theater was El Torino or Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood. And before that, it was a couple of years before. I guess the movie I saw before that was Body of Lies. I just don't go to movies no more. You know, Tom told me that the International had some good stuff in it, but I don't know. I'm just a stickler for things. I just don't want to, even though my $9 is not going to either break or make Steven Spielberg, I just don't want to put it in his pocket. I don't want to put no money in Brad Pitt's pocket. You know, I'd like to put a goddamn some anthrax in his pocket, what I like to do. I'd like to smear it all over his face, him and his sorry-ass wife. You've got to be getting to a point where you how can you not hate the society that you're just enveloped in? You're assaulted by your TV, you're assaulted by what you see on the streets. Caught a little bit of the show tonight called Most Shocking. There was this brawl, that took place in a shopping mall in Macon, Georgia. Started out with two niggers jawjacking at each other. And they just wrecked the place, man. They were throwing shit. It happened like a food court kind of thing. And they just wrecked the place. Throwing chairs at each other. How many times have you said we've seen shit like this? Oh, wait a minute, Frank. What about white people who celebrate at the end of the World Series or the Super Bowl? They do some bad things. I mean, I'll admit it. White people do some stupid shit, but nowhere near the frequency that these shitskins do. Nowhere near it. Stop making excuses for them. Stop being a fucking chicken shit white Caucasian son of a bitch. Stop, and you, Ghost Wolf, you, Radio Club listeners, stop trying to win their support. We don't want their support. The white race can go to hell. Well, yes, we want to save the white race, but until you prove to us, white man, that you're not a sheep, that you believe in survival of the white race, you're a fucking enemy. Do you see how our struggle is a lot different than anything that's ever taken place on this planet? On one aspect, we're pan-Aryan. We will not be divided by any nationalities. I don't care if a Polish man can't speak a lick of English. I would rather serve with him than some nigger who does speak English. It's too much of this. The white race is just way too divided. And even within the same language that people speak, there's division. And I don't think it's by accident that that's happened. Kind of like the Tower of Babel. People built the Tower of Babel, and then God came down and confused their languages because he didn't like them building a tower to the heavens. There's something about that story. It's in the Jewish Bible, for one. But there's something about that story that I've never seen before when I was a Christian slave. And that is, if they could have truly built a tower to the heavens, that was considered bad. Well, didn't God give them the intelligence to do that? Remember who's written that Bible. That story takes place in Genesis. Who wrote Genesis? Moses. What was Moses? He was a Jew. What else do you write? What else do you see in the Bible? You see Joshua, Moses' successor, going to the promised land, going to Jericho specifically, and waylay everything, kill everything. They killed the men, the women, and the children. Now, when shit like that happens today, people are all up in arms about children being killed. You know, and I guess rightfully so. But how these Christian fundamentalists, and how any white man who calls himself a Christian, can read over that story and not have it. You know, and I remember what my preacher said when I was an avid churchgoer. The place was filled with so much sin that God thought it was better that the children die. You know, even though the children were killed ruthlessly, at least the children went to heaven. If they grew up to be sinners, then they would be lost forever. So it's better that the children died. You know, so they died innocent. And I fucking accepted that shit. Can you think about that? I've heard that from a few of these non-denominational fundamentalist Christian preachers. Think about that. It's good for those children to die. Making excuses for them. Not wanting to recognize that the Jews have just fucked us up with their Semitic bullshit. Too many white people afraid to break the chains of Christianity. Boy, they've done a number on you, brother, believe me. It's hard. It was hard for me. You've got to break the chains of the moral code that you have been enslaved with since you were a child. That includes all the good government bullshit that you were brainwashed with when Officer Friendly came to your first grade classroom. You got to break the chains of all these emotional speeches given by presidents and men of state who are nothing but lackeys, who are nothing but marionettes for the true power in this country and every other country. And that's the corporate, economic, international financier elite. Stop obeying the law. My advice to you is to disobey, but do so in a way that's beneficial to you. I'm not going to just get in my car tomorrow and just blow every red light I see. I'm not going to do that. That's causing attention to myself. You have to get over in every way imaginable. If that's bleeding funds from the state for welfare and any other kind of thing, you need to do it. You need to bleed the state in other ways. You need to make the state pay money for things. You need to cost the state money. That's that S word. SABOTAGE. That's a bad word. That's like the F word to the system. But you have power. You have disruptive power. And if our race goes by the wayside, it's your fault, NSM. It's your fault, Ku Klux Klan. It's your fault, Vinlanders. It's your fault, Hammerskins. It's your fault, National Alliance. It's your fault, Creators. It's your fault, IKA. It's your fault, Radio Club. It's your fault, Frank Bauer. We are dying off. We are being dispossessed of everything. Not even our women are sacred. And you want to play these silly games. Or maybe you're just apathetic now. Maybe you look at the world around you and it's just so overwhelming and you're like, oh man, what I do won't make a difference. Listen, it's better to live one day as a lion than 1,000 years as a sheep. Ending, let the final days of your life, whether you're in your 20s or your 80s, final days in your life spent in rebellion against this world system that's backed up by international banking, transnational corporations, political whores who are lackeys, who are the frontmen for them. Look at the world around you. How much are you going to allow yourself to be disgusted? How much are you going to allow yourself to be just sickened by the things you see and hear and not extract some type of revenge personally by yourself without telling anyone about it? Ghost Wolf Radio is calling out to white Aryan men, irregardless of nationality, ethnicity, Spaniards, Portuguese, Icelanders, Russians, Canadians, Australians, and everyone in between. We need individuals to rise up and make a difference. In Eastern Europe, I would recommend that the Russians movement, skinhead movement, start becoming a little bit more invisible. Stop being so in your face to everybody. Stop being so easily recognized. And while you do this, your acts need to become more bloody on those that do not belong in your country. You got Africans, black Africans in Russia playing soccer, fucking white Russian women. The sun should not go down on their black asses without the sun rising on their corpse. Now you Russians, you got that mental constitution. I believe you Poles, Hungarians, Romanians, and Bulgarians do also, and the Serbs, and even the Croats. Stop going after each other. The white organizations are absolutely not helping us at all. The right wing is actually hurting us in a major way. And I would love to turn on CNN one day and just hear about members of the right wing not being arrested, not having their houses repossessed or their cars, but finding them floating face down in some body of water. I'm sorry, I know that sounds bad, but what we could have had in the 60s, man, what we could have had in the 50s, there were plenty of white people that didn't allow their neighborhoods and areas to be infested with subhumans. But now we've gotten used to it, and it's hard to separate. It's hard to find white people who will take a stand now. Someone needs to pay for all that. And those of our race who have held us back, who had a mask of resistance, David Duke and others, you need to be dealt with. What do you say, Frank? You want to, you know, something, you going to do something to David Duke? I'm not going to do nothing to David Duke. I'm saying I'd like to see something happen to David Duke. He's too apologetic, too wimpy. He's not revolutionary, and personally, I think he's in with the system somehow. I don't understand how he can go overseas and do his thing when he was in jail for 18 months. How is he able to do that? I don't know. We need to get them out of here. We must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children. Become wolves in human shape. Seize the day and seize the night. And do what you can to save your race.